Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining me now is the outgoing editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, Kate White, who is stepping down after 14 years at the helm. It's the second Cosmo-related conversation that we've had in as many months. As many of you know, we talked about Helen Gurley Brown's legacy as that magazine's longtime editor and Cosmo's role in the sexual revolution of the 1960s and in feminism when she passed away. So we'll talk about where Kate White leaves the magazine now, what she thinks is important in media and in life, and we'll also talk about her new advice book called I Shouldn't Be Telling You This, Success Secrets Every Gutsy Girl Should Know. Kate White, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So long ago, in the Helen Gurley Brown days, Cosmo is a general interest and literary magazine. Mm-hmm. It became sort of a guide for aspirational young women covering fashion, sex, relationships, and more recently, careers. And it has a huge circulation worldwide, in case any listener doesn't know. So who reads Cosmo now? And do you think it still retains that special brand of feminism that Helen Gurley Brown advocated for?
I think it does still retain that because its readers are fun, fearless females. They're women 18 to 34 who just want great entertainment but also advice on living their best lives and going after what they want in terms of relationships as well as work.
So Cosmo readers and anyone else, call us up with questions for Kate White, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692. Maybe you want some career advice from a woman with an enviable career, 212-433-WNYC, or with anything else that you would like to say or ask, or you can post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And let's get into some of your advice. I mentioned in my promo for this that you tell women that the really treacherous times are after you get a promotion. Why is that?
Well, I think that sometimes we can be so focused on getting that next thing that I notice over the years is some of the great women who I promoted, not the majority, but definitely some, it was almost like they went, phew, I did it. And then they hadn't envisioned what the job was going to be beyond that. And so they ended up kind of parking themselves in their offices and not really grabbing hold of the opportunity. And I think some of it is just not imagining what you need to do, not sitting down with your boss and really figuring out, hey, what do you want from me now?
I feel like you're walking a line in this book between confident career girl, as maybe people generally think of it, and entitled, conniving B-word. You use that word plenty. You have a chapter called Why Would You Get in Touch with Your B-Word Envy?
Yeah.
Why You Should. Does that have anything to do with another piece of advice you give, which is to be grabby?
You know, I think there's a big difference between being the B-word, which I like to think that I managed to run five magazines without being that, because I think women can be that way, I think, sometimes when they're under stress and they don't know how to handle stress, so you direct it outward. But I do think it's important for women to not be afraid to go after opportunities, to not worry about what someone is going to think if they raise their hand for the project just because other women want it. And I think being grabby is that. By getting in touch with your inner BNV, what I mean is sometimes when we find ourselves thinking of another woman as really, oh, I don't like her, she's such a B, it's really because we see her doing some things that we deep down may think we should be doing, like going after stuff fiercely, maybe even butt-kissing the boss a little bit, talking about her accomplishments.
What about the word itself? You know, we get pushback that when people like you in books like yours use that word, it actually inadvertently fosters a negative stereotype of women and successful women and assertive women that is actually counterproductive.
I know from my Cosmo years that when we'd use that word on the cover, that women felt it was a word that sort of had lost its negativity in some way when you use it a certain way. It was about having ownership and being fearless. And a lot of women who in the baby boomer years – had this good girl gland. And we were told growing up, don't jump into the puddle with your party shoes on and don't rock the boat and don't make noise. And so for a lot of young women today, women who are in the Gen Y generation, it's a word that says, I'm going to own this situation. I'm going to take control. And it's, and they see it as a very positive word.
Equal sassy.
Yeah. Every cover line, every time I put the word on the cover, it sold over 2 million copies.
Kate White, the outgoing editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, my guest, and her new book is called I Shouldn't Be Telling You This, Success Secrets Every Gutsy Girl Should Know. It's interesting, when we did the call-in when Helen Gurley Brown died, on how Cosmo has influenced your life and how Helen Gurley Brown influenced callers' lives, the phones were jammed. And people had their stories.
Yeah.
Oh, she meant so much to me at a certain time in my life, et cetera. Right now, folks, the phones are slow. Are people reading Cosmopolitan in the same way today, I wonder, as people read it in Helen Gurley Brown's day? So if you are an actual Cosmo reader today, step up and let's hear from you. 212-433-WNYC. Or when we talk about women balancing careers and family and other things, our phones are always jammed. If there's any piece of Kate White's take that you want to get on that, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is this book about, quote unquote, having it all? You know the age-old debate, obviously, about having it all and how it was sparked again recently by Anne Marie Slaughter's Atlantic piece, which argued that women still can't have it all. You have had a serious career and a husband and kids. You write, if you want the work-family equation to make sense, you need to love your job. And I think that makes sense to all women, but not all women have the option. It's not easy to find the job you love. So where do you enter this at the level of advice?
Well, first of all, in terms of the Anne Marie Slaughter piece, I think that there are always going to be trade-offs if you really want to commit yourself fully to being a mother. That was my priority, and I knew that I was going to have to make choices. Every editor of a fashion beauty magazine in the United States goes to Paris and Milan twice a year. I chose not to do that because of my kid's age. And I think, you know, with Slaughter's piece, she basically had, for her, all at one point was having a full teaching load at Princeton, doing 40 or 50 speeches a year, writing books, and having a kid. For a lot of women, that all would be a really fabulous all. It got complicated when she needed to be away from her kid for a week. And I think you have to step back and say, do I really want to do that? And is it so horrible for me to say, maybe I do that later in life or at a different point and reconfigure some things? And I think you have to make the trade-off. Maybe guys don't have to do that and it isn't fair. But nonetheless, I felt I was able to have it all as I defined all. And so it was what I got was good. It worked for me. It was a great job, and it was a nice relationship with my kids.
Here's an interesting piece of pushback posted on our website by a guy, and it says, so let's see. Girls make up an ever-increasing majority of college populations. Urban-dwelling young women make more money than their male counterparts. Mm-hmm. I think there was a stat like that recently.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is full of columns, advice shows, interviews, books, etc., aimed at females. It seems abundantly clear that it should be the boys and young men who are most in need of advice at this point in our society.
Yeah, I think we can look at it both ways. You look at the Times today, there's a picture of the Oval Office. I said to my husband, what's wrong with this picture? There are like 9 guys in the room. There's not one woman represented there. And we are not represented in the high end, and I think women still have work to do. But on the other end, we have somehow, I think, in trying to bring fairness into the equation for women, we have perhaps neglected boys, and we see boys struggling. I think the stats, the college stats, the graduate school stats are very alarming, because I think it's going to create situations with couples where they struggle as they look at a balance that isn't, you know, we flipped it the other way. And so I see so many young women talking about what this can mean in their own relationships, and it's hard to talk about. And sometimes it's hard for either party to get by. So we have to help women continue to break through that glass ceiling, but we also have to pay attention to young boys in their 20s.
There's some criticism that magazines like Cosmo and Glamour and others get on the importance that you place on appearances. So you advise, for example, that women should have their eyebrows professionally shaped, that you need a great handbag, great shoes, that you probably shouldn't keep your hair long unless you're in a creative industry, and even then not below your shoulders. Develop a signature look with your makeup. I think maybe you have a lot of women who would agree with a lot of your advice, but get to the chapter on success style with all that stuff, and you lose them. Why do you think professional women need to fit into that mode?
You mean you lose them in terms of they don't want to do it?
Yeah, maybe kind of get turned off to where they think you're coming from.
Well, having published for 14 years in a magazine on fashion beauty and having been a Glamour cover girl myself and worked for Glamour, I don't think you're losing a lot of women. I think a lot of women, yes, there's certain fields. I've spent some time out at Apple. There's certain fields where you don't have to look that way. But a lot of fields you do. And the same rules apply for men. You're not going to make it in a law firm if you're walking in sneakers and you've got a big monobrow. A lot of it depends on the field, and I point that out. I also think, you know, one of the things I did with my kids over the time they were growing up, we spent a lot of time doing eco-travel, the Amazon, Antarctica, Africa. And I just think we are hardwired to some degree, to that appearance matters. I mean, I'm a big bird watcher and been all over the world doing that. And I think that part of the reason fashion is so big in the United States today, bigger than it was 20 years ago, is because we like it, not just because it's being rammed down our throat. We like to look nice. We like men to think we look nice. And that's just part of our DNA, I believe.
Helen, on our comments page, writes, I wonder what Ms. White thinks about the lack of focus on current affairs and social issues in her former magazine. I consider myself to be a girly feminist, and I'm often disappointed by how women are uninformed or even uninterested in social issues. I think, unfortunately, magazines like Cosmo are somewhat to blame. The only important issues they push are career, fashion, and sex.
Well, you know, that'd be a little bit like me saying to you, why don't you do some Kama Sutra on your show, Brian? Because when you have a product, a successful product in terms of media, you have to focus and ask, why do readers come here? And our readers went to the Daily Beast or a HuffPo for their information on politics. They did not come to Cosmo for that. It's not how the magazine was defined as a brand. It's a fashion beauty magazine that focuses on relationships and self-help. So politics isn't part of the mix. Our readers get politics someplace else. And there's not a successful brand anywhere in terms of media that doesn't have a tight focus.
Stay tuned for our Thursday segment on Kama Sutra, by the way. No, okay. Stephen in Marble Hill, you're on the air. Hi, Stephen. We have about 20 seconds for you.
Hi. My daughter, she's very accomplished as a freshman in high school. She wound up state champion in debate. She's ambitious. This is my youngest daughter. She perceives feminist she says, you know, I don't like feminism. I don't like feminists. She really perceives them as a bunch of whiners, you know. And I don't. That is different from my perspective.
Does she demand? She demand equal rights?
I think she doesn't see it as an issue these days. Like when the campaign of high school students in New Jersey got the issue of women
moderating a presidential debate
on
right.
the map.
Yeah.
She said, why? You know,
it's interesting.
Just like they could have got there.
She should read The Good Girl Revolt by Lynn Plachette about the women at Newsweek who sued their bosses so they could be reporters and writers too. They may have sounded like whiners, but your daughter would not have the opportunity she has today if those women hadn't come from first and done it.
Stephen, thank you. 1 minute left. Media. Cosmo, gaining in circulation. You're leaving the magazine in great shape. Over 3 million circulation, 64 international editions, a growing pool of digital subscribers. Other magazines are dying on the vine. Is that just because it's fashion and sex and advice?
I think the big brands will make it. But I think the small brands really have some worrying to do. I think when with certain consumers, they'll move over to other platforms, Cosmo Radio, our tablet editions, as you pointed out, they're thriving. But I think that it's a very changing landscape and that anyone in it needs to know how to pivot.
I shouldn't be telling you this. Success Secrets Every Gutsy Girl Should Know, the new book by Kate Light as she steps down as editor of Cosmopolitan after 14 years at the helm. Thank you so much for joining us.